Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Natalie, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I'm super excited to have this conversation, but first we want to know, how did you first find Organize 365?
So I had kind of gotten to a point where I needed to do something. I think I was just searching for some kind of organizational podcast to listen to give me some guidance. And I'm pretty sure that's how I ran into Organize 365.
And who's in your family? Like, how long ago was that? And who lives with you in your household?
So that was probably after my daughter was born. She's two now. So a couple years ago. And I live with my husband, my four-year-old son, Calvin, my two-year-old daughter, Kennedy, our German Shepherd. And then we have another one on the way here.
Oh my goodness.
So she is due March 27th. So
they'll all be 2 years apart.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. That's so exciting. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
And you said it's a girl.
Yep.
Oh, very fun. Very fun. So you were having your second baby, or just had your second baby, and you were searching for a podcast. Why were you looking for a podcast to get organized?
Well, around the time that she was born, I just got super overwhelmed with all of this stuff in our house. Up until that point, from 2005, when I had left home from college, I had basically been in that accumulation phase. And I think it was worse for me than for most people because I have such a diverse background. So I went to undergrad for a studio art degree. While I was in undergrad, I bought like a fixer-upper house.
Oh, wow.
Got married, started a coffee shop business. Then I just like completely switched gears. I got divorced, sold my coffee shop business, and decided to go to law school. So I moved, bought another house, got remarried, you know, having kids. So I have all this stuff, you know, art supplies, you know, just in case I ever have time to do art again, right. And tools and equipment for fixing up our house and wedding gifts. And then, you know, more recently, all the kids stuff. And so I think when she was born, you know, we didn't just have like all of the toddler toys, but we had to get all the baby gear out again, the swings and all the stuff. And it just, from there, it felt like it just kind of, everything kind of snowballed. Like we would have, people would come to visit and my husband and I would sort of shove things away in closets or put it in the basement to try to make the main areas of our house look presentable. And, you know, having a toddler and a newborn, we didn't really have the time to go back and put it away in its proper place. So things got lost and built up and it was just very frustrating. And so, I was just starting to kind of like think like something's got to give here. Something needs to change.
So did you end up getting the law degree?
I did. Yep.
Oh my gosh. So what kind of law do you specialize in, or do you even do law?
Yep. I do law. Okay. I do mostly litigation. So, you know, when the case gets into a lawsuit, and I kind of do kind of different areas in that: personal injury, construction law, landlord tenant law. So kind of all different areas, but I like to be in the courtroom or involved in some kind of lawsuit, as opposed to more like a transactional attorney where I'm drafting contracts and things like that. So.
And are you only licensed in your state, or are you licensed in multiple states?
I'm licensed in Nebraska and Iowa.
Okay. Fascinating. So I find a lot of entrepreneurs have law degrees.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're definitely an entrepreneurially minded person.
Yeah. I think kind of like when I started law school, I didn't really even know if I wanted to be a lawyer, and I don't know if I'll be a lawyer. the rest of my life, because I just get like these wild hair ideas and I want to like pursue them. And my husband kind of like reels me back. And I think probably I'll stick with this career during the time that my kids are little, but I'm guessing when they get older and are a little more independent, I'm guessing I'm probably going to do something else.
So what was your undergraduate in?
Studio art.
Okay. So like you can go to law school, like with any undergraduate
degree? Yep. That surprised a lot of people, but.
So I have a friend across the street, a friend, like our kids were the same age. So I know her from school. So like we're school parent friends. Yep. And she went and she got a law degree when she turned 40. Like she's like, I'm going to law school. Then she's 43. And now all of a sudden she has a law degree. Like, I'm like, you can go back to college when you're 40. You can get a law degree. Like that just blows me away. Cause I would love to get a cognitive psychology PhD. I would love to get a law degree. Like I would love to learn all the things.
Yeah. I think a law degree, it's like just a great education for whatever you want to do. Cause the law just pervades so many areas of our lives that just good knowledge to have. And it really, I think you would like it because at least for me, like you, they say it changes the way you think. Like when you're in law school, it kind of retrains your brain in a good way, I think. So I think, yeah, I think you would like it.
So I actually wrote my own court case.
Oh, really?
All the way up in the state of Ohio. Dropped it right before it got to the Supreme Court. Yeah, wrote it myself. Like, so I researched the law in this one specific area.
That does not surprise me at all.
And it's fascinating because the law is not about the intent. It's about the actual law. Like you have to follow like all the, I'm just like, okay. So it's not like if you hear this story, like which side sounds better. No. It's all about these specific rules. Everything, there are all these rules.
Yeah. But the rules, they're based on policies that, you know, have reasons for them. And sometimes if, you know, you can, that's what where lawyers come in is because they try to say, well, you know, the rule doesn't apply in this situation because the policy of the rule is this, and you don't accomplish this policy if you apply it in this way.
You know what it is? It's a word jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah.
Because you can find supporting law for whatever your argument is. It doesn't have to be like here. You can find it in other states. You could, like I found mine in other states to support something I was fighting in Ohio. So anyways, this is fascinating to me.
Yeah. I think that's why I like laws, because it's like a lot of problem solving and thinking creatively. And
oh my goodness. Okay. So anyways, back to your organizing journey, other than my like wanting to have 18 million different degrees. Okay. So you decided that you needed to get some more structure. It's because, so another thing that's fascinating to me is you remind me a lot of my family, like my mom, my grandmother, my great grandmother, they had like all these different degrees and jobs and art degrees and all that kind of stuff. Like you're multi-passionate. And I love how you're even talking about, like, you have literally a law degree. Like most people like end all be all, I'm now a lawyer, I'm a doctor, I'm a whatever. And you're like, oh yeah, for like this 10 years. And then maybe the next thing, like, and that's how I'm looking at my life now. But like, I'm almost 50 and now I'm like, oh, okay, I get to pick what I want to do every decade or, you know, and I could change as much as I want. That's not how we were raised, you know, but it's like totally how I think now. So I love that you are so multi-passionate, have so many ideas. It takes a lot of organization in order to be able to not only have all of those ideas, but to be able to fulfill them at different times and be able to compartmentalize, say, okay, I was art, I'm not art right now, but art might come back. I am law now. I was, you know, rehabbing a house in the past, that might come back. Like you pull out what you want to do and then you like organize and store away what you're not doing, but you haven't totally gotten rid of it.
Yeah.
Do you think that you do that?
I definitely do that. And it does take a lot of organization. And back before I had kids, I was pretty organized. You know, I had all of these things, but I knew where they all were. They were all to, you know, combine like things with like. And when you run out of that time to keep that organization, things
get
crazy. So, you know, one of the things that has changed for me in listening to your podcast is just changing my mindset that, you know, just because I might use something in the future doesn't mean that I have to keep it right now. Like if I want to do art again in the future, I'm just going to go buy the things to do, you know, that'll be fun. That'll be exciting for me then anyway. So I need to just get rid of all these old canvases that are taking up space and the paint it's probably going to be old and hard by the time I get to it anyway.
But it's hard to do it, isn't it? Is it like when you like actually load it up, you're like, oh, and you like just see dollar signs and that are like leaving your house. But then once it's gone, you're like, okay, great. Now I have this space for like whatever this next thing is going to be.
It's double-edged sword. Like sometimes it's like hard to let go, but I think once you, once I make the decision to let it go, it's like, feels better.
Yeah. The decision is the hardest part. And then the decluttering is like the physicalness of that decision.
Yeah. And it's nice having the things gone because then, like you say, they aren't there to like physically remind you of the things that you, you know, plan to do, but you can't do. So it's like a guilt trip just sitting there, you know, and every time you look at it, you think like, oh, I should really do, you know, I should really get back into painting. You know, it just makes me feel bad every time I see it. So I need to just get it out of my house.
Yes. Okay. So if I'm watching this interview or listening to it, I'm thinking, how did you do that? Like, how did you have a 2-year-old, a newborn? You are a lawyer. Like how did you have the time or what steps did you take to actually get organized? Like how did you do it?
So it didn't happen right when my daughter was a newborn. I had this thought that, you know, I was getting kind of overwhelmed at the time that she was born. And I just thought, oh, during my maternity leave, like, of course, I'll just get everything figured out then. I'll have all this time at home. It'll be great. Obviously, that did not happen. So things kind of got worse. But then I think at some point, towards the end of 2020, or 2020, beginning of 21, I had been listening to your podcast for a while, and I think it was one of your podcasts that kind of inspired me. Like, you know, I don't have the time to do like, I have all the motivation, but I don't have the time.
Yeah.
And how do I do that? So I decided that I would look into hiring some mother's helpers on the weekends. So we got a Saturday sitter, a Sunday sitter, and then a backup, and they would come from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. And during that time, my husband would do kind of maintenance type stuff, laundry, picking up and making trips to Goodwill for all the stuff I was getting rid of. And then I would do the organizational type stuff. And at first, I think I was just listening to your podcast and kind of following your kind of methodologies that you talked about. And I got through my kitchen and my master bedroom. And then when the sitters came, I just kind of found myself walking around my house, like, what should I do next? You know, like I was like, my house was still not in great shape, but I just needed like a step-by-step instruction on what to do. So I think that was around, it was around Mother's Day, because I know I justified the purchase as a Mother's Day purchase. My husband and I have $100 rule where anytime we purchase something over $100, we have to get the other person's permission, but I broke that rule. And I'm like, well, the good news is you don't have to worry about a Mother's Day gift for me. The bad news is, you know, I just purchased this program, but it's going to benefit the whole family. So it's okay. And he is totally on board now and would say it was 100% worth it.
How long did you keep the mother's helpers?
I think from May, and then that they did really good through the summer. And then when school started up again, they had more scheduling things come up. And so it kind of dwindled off from there. And I actually just, for a while, we were without any help. And then just more recently, we hired a couple new ones. So.
Well, I love that you say that, because I have talked in the past about hiring mother's helpers. And I love mother's helpers because like you and your husband were there. It's not like they were babysitters and you weren't there, but you're getting support for the kids so that you don't have to worry about, is it snack time? Is it nap time? Did somebody fall and needs a Band-Aid? Like all that stuff. Like you have somebody there playing with the kids. They're happy. And then you could focus on the work. Like, there's a lot of work to running a household that is not childcare related. It's like household related. Yeah. Did that surprise you?
Yeah. Yeah. It just surprised me, like how much kids affected your ability to do that. Like my oldest son, he's always been kind of a high maintenance kid. He was very colicky as a baby, and even at four now, he's never like learned the meaning of independent play. So those having the mother's helpers there to, you know, mm-hmm. pretend to be superheroes or villains or whatever that they do, it's just like, yeah, it has been a total game changer, because otherwise it's me trying to get stuff done and him begging me to play with him and, you know, my daughter hanging on me, but they distract him. And I think it's a great solution for our situation, at least, because, you know, we can hire younger people. So I think we've even had like an 11 or 12 year old come over. Mm-hmm. And because they're younger and don't have as much experience, we don't have to pay them as much.
Right.
And then they, on the other hand, they get the experience in babysitting and caring for kids so that, you know, in the future they can get higher paying jobs. And so I think it's a good situation for everybody.
Yeah. And then, so what is it like just after you're done with that time in the morning, the babysitters leave around 11 or whatever, you guys do lunch. And then what are the afternoons like for you and your husband on Saturday and Sunday?
Mostly it, you know, try to wrap things up. It's sometimes my husband will like take the kids and I'll continue working on things. But I try to just make that my family time and really, you know, be with the kids and spend time with, since I don't get to spend much time with them during the week. So.
And yeah, that's the reason I asked the question, because that is the hard part. Like, how do you, as the mother, get time to truly just like play on the floor and read the books? And like, it's really hard. I love how you've structured out these Saturday and Sunday mornings of time and support, almost like you've created like a little work week for your house in the mornings. Oh, yeah. And then you have like a little vacation or weekend in the afternoon, but you know that you've gotten the work done in the morning and the kids are happy. And then they get I just think it's amazing. I've never heard of anybody doing this.
Yeah. I've never thought about it like that. That's a good way mm-hmm. to put it. But I think it's good, because before we had the mother's helpers and kind of had that structure, mm-hmm. it was like, nobody was happy. Like,
right. You know, I'm thinking about my life. I'm like, nobody's happy.
Yeah. I can't get things done because mm-hmm. you want me to play with you. And then I feel guilty because I'm not playing with you. You're mad, you know, like, so this has just been a good solution for us.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I love it. Like, so as you're thinking about this next maternity leave that is quickly approaching, we'll probably already be here by the time this is airing. What are your thoughts? How long is your maternity leave? What is your thoughts about your maternity leave this time?
Our office manager just emailed me about that yesterday, and I haven't really made up my mind. I think I'm due March 27th. I think I'm going to take off April and May, and then I'm either going to take off June or I'm going to start back part-time, just because last time I took off 2 months and came back full-time and it was really hard. So I think I might either give myself a little bit more time or try to ease back into it a little bit more, but I'm definitely not going to do a complete upheaval of my house during my maternity leave like I planned last time.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're going into this maternity leave like much more organized with a better plan, or still a lot to do?
Yeah. So I've already gone through the 100-day program once. So I feel like, you know, things aren't perfect, but they're a lot better. And, you know, we have kind of systems in place now. So I feel a lot better about it. Of course, there's things that I would like to improve, but having been through, you know, this is my third one. So I have a little bit more experience and a better or more realistic expectations about what's going to be accomplished. I think I'm just trying to be realistic about what that's going to look like and what
I highly suggest you take me up on my normal mantra for people who have children under the age of 5 and take a lot more naps. You're very productive, but let's get a lot more naps in there.
Yeah.
Are you a good napper?
I am a good napper. Yeah. Okay. I also have, I'm also like want to be productive too. So
you mean more productive after the nap.
Right. Yep.
So when was the first time you noticed like that something was organized that had not been organized before?
It's hard to nail down the first time. Mm-hmm. I think I felt accomplished like after the first day of doing the 100-day home organization program, just like, or the day where you clear off the countertops.
Yes.
Like just having that like cleared off just made me feel so much better. But I can't say there's like a specific time. Like I know people talk about like, oh, I was looking for this and found it.
Yes. But it's always looking for something.
I have noticed that as a benefit, but yeah.
Is there anything that's happened that you didn't expect to happen while you've been getting organized?
I mean, going along with people finding things, and I probably should have expected this, but I didn't. Just having a better handle on the thing, like going through all of your possessions in 100 days, like it kind of reminds you what you have and then yeah. You know where it is. So I think another thing that I didn't expect was when I went through the 100-day home organization the first time. And I think I took a lot more time than people most do because I'm kind of a perfectionist. I couldn't just do the declutter the first round. I had to do declutter and thing. But the first time around, I got rid of a lot of stuff. I would say I accomplished my goal of getting rid of at least 25% of the stuff in our house. But the thing that surprised me was that going through the second time that I was still able to get rid of so much stuff because I thought, and I didn't go through the whole second time, but as I was starting to, I would just be like, wow, like I just evaluated this, you know, drawer 100 days ago. I haven't used this item since then. What's the likelihood that I'm going to use it in the next 100 days? Why don't I just get rid of it? And just like kind of taking an inventory on your things every 100 days, like really makes you think about whether you should get rid of it or not. And so that's something that I kind of didn't expect. I thought that the first round I would just get rid of everything and I wouldn't be still getting rid of things the second time around.
So do you have like, how many things, if you got rid of 25% the first time, do you have any estimation of how much you got rid of the second time?
Probably, I'm just thinking about kitchen because that's the only thing I went through the time around. I would say the first time around in the kitchen, I probably got rid of, 25 to 30% of things. And the second time around, I got rid of probably 10% of what I had.
That's what I would have guessed. Yeah.
10%. So, that's obviously less than the first time, but just like when you're going through things that you thought that you were keeping, I think 10% is pretty good.
So did you feel like you had more space in your kitchen when you were done? And what do you use that for? Do you know?
I have more space and it's just more functional. Like I know like where a certain utensil is and it's just easier to put things away because you're not moving things around to try to make space for it. And my cabinets just look nicer too, which is, you know, always a bonus, like opening something up and it's not crammed with all this different stuff in it.
And in your phase of life, so with a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and then a baby again, you have sippy cups, bottles, little plastic dishes, like different kinds of food. Just there's so much food and paraphernalia that just keeps changing until your youngest is like 5. And then you'd be like, okay, we have the plastic plates, the plastic cups, and we're done. But right now, like, So much baby paraphernalia.
Yep.
And that's not, like constant. Yeah.
I'm not looking, I breastfeed. So I'm like not looking forward to like, all right, now we got to get the bottle dryer thing out and the, like hanging my like pump stuff on there and cleaning that all out and having all those supplies. I'm like, I'm just not looking forward to that, but we'll have space for it now, I think, to be able to put it all away instead of having it. What we did in the past was we had like one of those IKEA carts.
Yes.
Just like in next to our island on the kitchen. It just had all that and it just looks so messy, but that's what we did. But this time I think we'll be able to find space to put it away. So that'll be nice.
Oh, that'll be great. So what do you think you have more of now, Natalie?
More peace of mind. More money.
More money.
Yeah.
You just told us you're hiring sitters. How do you have more money? That makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, I've sold I sold a lot of stuff on Facebook, like so much that I had to like give them my tags information. I had like a system where our basement downstairs, there's a bathroom down there that we don't really use so much. So that's like my inventory. So the things that don't really have like too much value, or it's like, you know, I'm going to be able to sell it for less than $10. I'll just donate it to Goodwill. But if it's something that has value, then try to get something for it. And so the bathroom in our basement is my little inventory, and I have my printer set up to like send out shipping labels. So yeah, I made a lot of money on there. And then the things that I sell locally, you know, we'll get cash for that. And that's what we use to pay our babysitters. So it's kind of paid for.
Oh my God.
The organization has paid for itself.
Yes. That's what I wanted you to say. What do you think you have less of?
Stress and anxiety. And it's just so much easier when people, like when my in-laws or my parents would come to visit, that used to just be a whole big ordeal and very stressful. And, you know, take my husband and I 2 days to get things tidied up for them to come. And now it's not like we do have a 2 and a 4-year-old. So it's not like anyone can just come waltzing in our house at any time, but it doesn't take nearly as long to get things manageable. So.
Wow. It just blows me away when people say that they have less stress and less anxiety when you have a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and another one on the way, and you have a full-time job. Like, it doesn't seem like that should be something you should be able to say.
Yeah, but it's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you use the Sunday basket?
I don't. I've been debating getting into it. And I just, for Christmas, my husband got the work box. So I'm curious to see how that works out for him. And I wonder too, like, I was interested in the work box and how that would work for my job as a lawyer, because we kind of already have like our own like tasking systems in our law office. But I've kind of started using some of your ideas about using paper. Like, I never used to print off emails. So I've started printing off emails, and I have not a Friday work box, but a Friday folder thing that I kind of put, like, I don't need to deal with this right now. I'll deal with it, you know, which I think has been helpful. And so
I did speak to a group of lawyers about the work box. And what's interesting in the law profession, also in the medical profession, if you're the doctor, and if you're the lawyer in a law profession, not if you're in other positions inside of the law firm, but if you're the lawyer or if you're the doctor, the way the companies are set up and your office is set up, it's set up like a workbox. So instead of having green slash buckets, you have administration staff. And instead of having, you know, like maybe the pink that's the pre-work before you go to trial, you have paralegals. So you have people, you have HR that's going to do the blue slash bucket. So when you're a lawyer or you are a doctor, you actually have staff in your profession that function to make the workbox work for you.
Yeah. I was actually
talking. So you don't necessarily need the workbox.
Yeah. I was actually talking to our office manager about the workbox program, because she's kind of type A, and I think
she would like it. She needs the workbox. You don't need the workbox.
Yeah. And she's like, oh yeah, I kind of have that system already.
Yes.
Like, we had her green folder for her financial stuff. And I do think though that there's some things about the workbox system that would benefit lawyers. Like, one thing that I'm weak on is I get very focused on my current practice and my clients that I'm serving without having time to think about and develop, like, what kind of practice do I actually want to have, and how can I get those clients, and what steps do I need to take to get those clients? So I think having a workbox, would help lawyers kind of think those things through, where most of the time we're just swamped with clients, but like sitting down, sitting down every Friday or even every quarter just to think about, you know, where your practice is going and how to get there, and making the time for that, I think it would be beneficial.
What is your husband's profession?
He works in the evidence-based drug and information center at Creighton University. He's the director. So he's a pharmacist and he's a professor, but he doesn't like teach lectures. He works with students that come on in different rotations, and they do a lot of different things. But the only thing that I really know how to explain is that they answer kind of discrete questions about drug interactions or drug side effects from different medical providers all over the United States.
Wow.
So he works with his students to research those and formulate answers. But I thought that the workbox would be great for him, being the director of that center. And then I think one of his weaknesses is too, that he gets so involved in the task that he's doing that he doesn't think about where he wants to go. So, you know, one of the things that universities always look at is like academia and what articles have you published? And he always gets so busy with other stuff that he neglects those areas. So I think the workbox will be good for him to.
Wow. That's so cool. What do you wish you had known sooner?
I think just your advice about decluttering and just having the mindset to be able to get rid of things. You know, I used to keep things like, because I might need it in the future. That's just kind of how I was raised. And, you know, maybe we're not using it now, but we might. So let's put it in this other building or something. And now I really think about like, do I really use this? Will I use it in the next 100 days? And if it's something of value, you know, I used to be like, oh, you know, I just see those dollar signs. Like I spent all this money on this, but just like being able to reframe my mindset, like that money is gone. Whether I'm used, no matter what happens to this item, the money's gone. And so I can either, you know, keep it and look at it and feel guilty for not using it, or I can get rid of it and give it to someone who could use it, or, you know, get something for it, even if it's not, you know, what I had, at least that's something. So just kind of changing my thought processes around what I should keep and what to get rid of. And then also just being more mindful of how things are arranged in my house and how that affects the function of everything.
Yeah.
Something that I think you kind of intuitively think about it a little bit, but walking through the 100-day program, really, you know, you really force us to think about that. Like, you know, where should you put your drink cabinet so that when people come in the kitchen while you're cooking, you know, they're not interrupting the flow of traffic, like that kind of thing. So I think that stuff's good to think about, but.
So one of the things we're talking about in Organize 365 now is that it's hard to have a before and after picture, because so much of what you do now, it sounds like you probably have really cute labels on your bins because it seems like you go to that level. I totally don't. So my before and after, I mean, it looks better, but it doesn't look like it should go in a magazine or anything. And you mentioned that you have less stress and less anxiety and more peace of mind. Like, how do you have a picture of that? Like, it's really hard for us to show a picture of that. So instead, what we're doing is we're saying, what are you using the time that you've saved because you're organized? That's your after. Like before is you're feeling overwhelmed and cluttered. Your after is, what would you say your after is? What do you use your extra 5 hours a week for?
I think just planning my next crazy wild hair idea, or, you know.
Your next entrepreneurial brilliant thing.
I don't know that I spend more time with my kids, but I feel like I'm enjoy the time that I probably spend about the same amount of time that I did before, but I really enjoy it more now.
You're mentally there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean, just through this interview, I was like, oh, it's time with her kids.
Yeah. You know,
purposeful, like time with your kids, not stressful time.
Yeah. Like, not like
fun time.
Yeah. Not like being annoyed with them for interrupting me and worrying about all the things that need to be done. Just being able to be there and appreciate the stage that they're in. And yeah, so it's been good.
Yeah. It is really fun. So my degree is in early childhood education, and you know, we have the grandbaby in the house now. And Greg's like, look, he found his foot. And I'm like checking off, like, okay, as he's going through all the little milestones. It's so fun. Like they have the little, where they do the little praying thing with their little hands. It's so cute. And the stages that they're in are only like, when they're that little, they're only like sometimes 3 or 4 days, and then they're on to the next thing, and they'll never do that thing again. They're just, you know, running through their little progression. So it's really fun to be a grandparent.
And every stage, all that. And every stage you're like, oh, this is the best. The newborn's like, oh, this is the best stage. And then they start like crawling and you're like, oh, this is the best stage. Yes. And they start like trying to talk and this is the best stage. And yeah, just,
yeah, it's really all, fun.
It's all really the best fun.
So what advice would you give to someone who is just starting out on their organizational journey?
I would say buy the Productive Home solution. I think you can get some success just by listening to your podcast and following the advice, but the value that you get is so worth it. Like, I consider myself to be a smart type A type person, and I'm hardworking, and I achieve what I want, but why reinvent the wheel? You know, this is your life's work and you've spent a lot of time developing this program and it works. So I just think that the time that people are going to save by just following the program versus trying to figure it out themselves, it's just so worth it. And yeah, so I would say buy the program.
Well, thanks. It is true. Like we look, especially at home, to save money in every way we can, but sometimes you just need somebody to give you the plan. So that you're like, okay, I know this plan. Like I'm on day 37. Like it's going to take me a while to get to day 100, but I know that once I get through all these days, I'm going to hit all these areas and it's going to work. So
yeah.
Natalie, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organize 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.